President Trump has blocked a $117 billion takeover of the chipmaker Qualcomm. In an executive order, Trump said the acquisition by the Singapore-based company Broadcom raised significant threats to national security. Had it gone through, it would have been the largest tech deal in history. Here to talk about that and more is our weekly guide to the world of tech, Recode. Ed Lee is managing editor at Recode. He joins us from New York. Hi, Ed.
Hey.
And let's start with the players here. For people who don't know, what is Broadcom, first of all?
Broadcom is a chip maker. They're based in Singapore. And, you know, they've been on an acquisition spree of late, and one of which was they were trying to buy Qualcomm.
Which is also a chip maker.
Also a chip maker. And both companies specifically make chips for mobile phones or mobile devices generally, which is sort of the booming sector of tech right now.
So why did Broadcom want Qualcomm?
Well, it's got a growing business. And if you've got, you know, if you're a cell phone, if you have a cell phone, chances are part of the fee of what you paid for that went to Qualcomm. They've got this great royalty business on patents that they own. So it's a good business to own in terms of, you know, the future of mobile, where it's headed.
And Qualcomm is also a key player in the push to 5G mobile networks, which is the next generation of how we'll transmit data, right?
Right. And 5G is sort of crucial for how, you know, not just for, you know, tech, but just everything. Could be, you know, self-driving cars, could be just for government use as well in terms of, you know, where everything's headed. So the guts of the system are all sort of this budding wireless technology. And I think that's key to how the future of the country's going to run, how the future of businesses are going to run.
So what exactly did President Trump say in his executive order blocking the deal?
Well, it was based on national security interests, and it was specifically about 5G, as we talked about a second ago. Qualcomm is one of the leaders in that space in the development of 5G technology. The concern was that if Broadcom was allowed to buy Qualcomm, that it would pull back R&D investment into 5G, which then would sort of make the U.S. less competitive, specifically against, you know, companies like China and Russia and other parts of the world where, again, this will be the sort of the future of how everything will run.
This is very unusual, though, for the president to step in and stop a deal like this, even though this is a huge deal.
It's a massive. It would have been the largest technology merger of all time, $117 billion. Yeah. And the way in which they did it is unusual. I mean, they did a review prior to an actual deal taking place, for one thing. That was one part of it. But the other part that was unusual is how they got into sort of making this determination. Broadcom is based in Singapore, and Singapore is not China. So that should be clear. But what the determination they're making isn't so much that it was Singapore owning a U.S. company, but a company that's used to cutting back on resources when they acquire other companies. Hmm. What they're effectively saying is we just don't like how you run businesses more so than you present a threat to national security by owning the company. So they took a few leaps to get there. And it was an unusual determination for sure.
So does this mean that this is the end of the deal, or is there a way it could still be revived?
There's very little recourse for Broadcom now. That is, at least if it wants to buy Qualcomm. There could buy other companies. There are other things potentially for sale. And then Qualcomm itself has been given a bit of a reprieve, you know, that this was seen – this was a hostile takeover. So in a way, the government acted on its behalf here.
We also have an acquisition that actually did go through. Yesterday, Apple announced that it's going to acquire Next Issue Media and its digital magazine subscription service, Texture. That affects magazines like The Atlantic, Vanity Fair, Time. What's the significance of this deal?
So, I mean, Texture, the app is sort of seen as sort of a Netflix or a Hulu for magazines. You're paying a monthly fee for which you can eat all you want in terms of the types of content available to you. And the content that's applied are, you know, coming from professional publishers like Time Inc. and Condé Nast and The Atlantic. So it's good stuff. I think the big signal here is that Apple is basically investing in news, though the terms of the deal were not disclosed. We can't imagine it's a ton of money.
Is it possible that this would have a major impact on the magazine industry, which obviously has been struggling?
I think it'll have a minimal impact, if anything. Again, it seems like Apple's sort of dipping its toes in the water. I think it's more of a political signal almost. It's basically saying, you know, there's all been fake news issues out there with Facebook and Google. We don't have that problem. And here's another example of how we're sort of bolstering professional news and not just sort of this user-generated stuff, the viral sharing of who knows what out there. And I think that's the significance of what this deal is.
Ed, as we're talking, the president of the United States is in California. It's his first visit there as president. He is not going to Silicon Valley. And meanwhile, Apple's CEO Tim Cook is in Washington meeting on Capitol Hill.
The Silicon Valley is certainly not friendly to President Trump, and I guess vice versa as well. Silicon Valley is noted for being this sort of democratic stronghold and very sort of libertarian as well as liberal values. And I think that's very much at odds with how the Trump administration has been managing the country, and that's certainly the things that Trump has been saying. The irony, of course, is that Trump himself is seen as sort of the first Twitter president,
right?
Able to get his voice out there through social media in a way that other presidents never have before. So I think, you know, the irony certainly is deep on that.
That's Ed Lee, managing editor at Recode. Ed, thank you.
Anytime.